I declare the 10th emergency session of the General Assembly resumed. Honorable Ministers, Excellencies, dear colleagues, distinguished delegates, I come before you this morning deeply disturbed and distraught. Only this Tuesday, we mark the anniversary of the United Nations Charter, the day on which our organization was founded out of the ashes of the most heinous crimes against humanity in history. While there is little to incline us to celebration, we nevertheless honored the values and principles that have anchored our organization these last 75 years. Yet again, we gather amidst the gravest escalation of violence and hostility in the Middle East in decades. Perhaps the most dramatic and difficult to countenance was the Al-Ahi Baptist Hospital attack that killed several hundred people in a single incident. It is an unthinkable crime that must offend our human sensibilities. The worsening tension, the unspeakable violence, the harrowing suffering must end now. I once again condemn the attack on Israel by Hamas on the 7th of October and reject the killings and the taking of civilian hostages, including women, children, and the elderly. The brutality of the Hamas assaults is shocking and unacceptable and has no place, I repeat, has no place in our world. Similarly, I condemn and reject the indiscriminate targeting of innocent civilians in the Gaza Strip and the scale of destruction of critical infrastructure by Israel. The ceaseless bombardment of the Gaza Strip by Israel and its consequences are deeply alarming. The right of self-defense does not and cannot lawfully give license to undertake indiscriminate and disproportionate reprisal. Thousands, especially children, women, and the elderly, are being killed, injured, maimed, and forcefully displaced, and hospitals are running tragically low on basic medical supplies. The rules of war dictate that on the ground, civilians and civilian installations must always be protected at all costs. And here, in this august chamber, our preeminent priority must be to protect and to save civilian lives. It is also regrettable that among the appalling loss of lives are United Nations personnel upon whom this organization depends to provide and deliver critical humanitarian support and other services to millions of Palestinians in dire need. I express my sincere solidarity with all those who have lost their loved ones, their homes, and their sense of security or belonging. And I join the Secretary General in expressing my deepest condolences to the families of the 35 UN staff members who have lost their lives in the noble cause of humanitarian service. I also take this opportunity to pay tribute to the entire UNRWA staff and other humanitarian workers for their continued unwavering and heroic efforts under these very distressing circumstances. Excellencies, all parties to this conflict must abide by international humanitarian law and immediately create the necessary conditions to allow for an opening of humanitarian corridor to the Gaza Strip. We must ensure that urgently needed life-saving assistance reaches those in need, from the delivery of basic foodstuff to the safe passage of humanitarian aid, humanitarian and medical staff. Any action to the contrary, to deprive the people of Gaza unimpeded access to essential livelihood supply, would be a clear violation of their human rights and an affront to international humanitarian law. We, the United Nations, cannot allow our fundamental principles of human rights and of international law to be compromised. As the United Nations, we are obliged to uphold them without any conditions or reservations, and certainly without any exceptions. Over the years, the United Nations has conducted successful humanitarian operations that have had significant impacts. I am both appreciative of and encouraged by the Israeli cooperation that led to the successful passage into Gaza of some aid trucks from Egypt. But this is clearly a drop in the ocean of Gaza's 2.5 million inhabitants, almost half of whom are children. Excellencies, dear colleagues, at this juncture, the most immediate step is clear. The violence must cease, and further bloodshed must be prevented. I call for the prompt and unconditional release of all hostages. I also call for an immediate, unconditional humanitarian ceasefire. And I also call for an immediate, unconditional opening of corridors of humanitarian assistance and relief. The only path to a comprehensive, just and lasting peace is a negotiated two-state solution consistent with international law, the UN Charter, and relevant United Nations resolutions, a solution that fulfills Israel's legitimate needs for security and that fulfills the State of Palestine's legitimate aspirations for an independent state. I urge all parties, state and non-state, to set aside their animosities and focus instead on averting war through prioritizing saving lives. This means focusing on the core purpose of our charter. It means engaging in dialogue and harnessing the support of the Secretary General and his special coordinator, Tor Wennesland. I also welcome international initiatives that focus on consensus building, spreading accurate and verified information, and putting an end to the violence and despair. Given the gravity of the situation on the ground, this cannot be just another business as usual session. I urge the membership to use today's session not to further fan the flames of hate, division, and revenge. Let us seize the opportunity instead to unify our purpose and our actions to save lives and to end violence. Let me assure you of my deep personal commitment to support any and all initiatives to this end. I thank you. I now give the floor to the distinguished representative of the observer state of Palestine.
Mr. President, colleagues, let us all remember we are meeting here while Palestinians in Gaza are under the bombs. Remember that you are speaking while families are being killed, while hospitals are coming to a halt, while neighborhoods are being destroyed, while people are fleeing from one place to another with nowhere safe to go. I urge you to choose your words carefully and to act accordingly. For all those mobilized against an even greater man-made humanitarian catastrophe or of a regional spillover, and these are worthy goals, we say, stop the bombs or both will happen. Stop the bombs and save lives, as the President of the General Assembly has indicated. All lives, lives of children, of civilians, of 2.3 million civilians in the Gaza Strip. Mr. President, in Gaza, a father tells his daughter about the birthday he was planning for her and asks her not to miss it. A mother laments, "My children died before they had a chance to eat." The thoughts that cross the mind of a mother in the face of such grief. 3,000 children in Gaza were killed by Israel in the last almost 3 weeks. I repeat, 3,000 children, innocent children, angels, killed in Gaza during the last 3 weeks. A man embraces his mother and pleads like a child, "Come back, I beg you. Come back, and I will take you wherever you want." He hugs her and can let go. But there is no time to mourn. More death is on the way. 1,700 women were killed by Israel in the last 2 weeks. A young man wrote, "We will not leave Gaza. We will only leave Gaza to join the heavens." A few days later, he did. 7,000 Palestinians have been killed by Israel in the last almost 3 weeks. 70% of all those killed are women and children. Almost all killed are civilians. Is this the war some of you are defending? Let me repeat, is this the war that some of you are defending? Can this war be defended? These are crimes. This is barbarism. If you do not stop it for all those who were killed, stop it for all those whose lives we can still save. Jinan, a little girl under the rubble, shouts at the people coming to rescue her, "What took you so long? There are 900 Palestinian children under the rubbles, alive or dead, wondering what is taking so long, wondering if any help is on the way. Anas, a little boy who is known as Anus, crawled from under the rubbles, not to find light, but more darkness. Devastations and death all around him. His ordeal has only started, not ended. 1,600 Palestinians are under the rubbles, and no one can reach them to save them or bury them. A doctor speaks of a term coined during this war: wounded child with no surviving family. 80 Palestinian families have lost 10 or more of their members, sometimes up to 45 members of the same family were killed. 18,000 people are wounded, many treated in hospital hallways, if at all, with no anesthesia. Paramedics who have seen death time and time again break down and cry, "This time is just too much." UN staff, humanitarian personnel, and doctors are standing their ground and paying the ultimate price for it. This memory is honored by some as if a natural disaster had killed them, not a UN member staff. As hospitals turn into morgues, doctors and patients alike wonder, is help on the way? Is help on the way? They are not listening to the explanations of some leaders on why the war has to go on. They just hear the bombs. They just feel the blast. They just face all this death trying to survive or to honor the pledge they took to save lives with no means to do so. People are ordered to evacuate. They look at their children. Should we head south? Will we be bombed on the way or once there? Should we go to a hospital courtyard, a UN school, a church, a mosque, sleep in our car in the streets? But bombs are everywhere. What choices do you make as a parent when there are only impossible choices, when death is everywhere, devastation is everywhere? A man stands in front of his house, turned into rubble yet another time. After a long pause, he asks, "How do you bury a house? Israel has destroyed over 40% of all homes, making an entire population homeless and displaced, 1.4 million people, in the hope to forcibly transfer them outside the territory." The Israeli foreign minister came to the Security Council and said, "This meeting should conclude with a clear message. Bring them home. For millions of Palestinians, there is no home to go back to. For thousands, there is no family left to embrace. Not by an act of God, but by the acts of a government represented here in this chamber." He spoke of families and their pain. There is not a single family in Gaza that has not endured epic suffering. He told you horrible it was to kill civilians. Just before justifying the killing of Palestinian civilians by the thousands, he spoke of the fear felt by people when rockets are launched. Israeli bombs have not spared a single square meter of Gaza. He believes the difference between civilization and barbarism is who is doing the killing or how they do it. He believes the laws of humanity and of our international law-based order apply to others but not to Israel, that they protect Israeli lives and allow the killing of Palestinians and taking Palestinian lives. He believes Israel can pretend it is abiding by the very laws it is breaching live on your TV screens and before your eyes. That if you say Hamas enough times, the world will not be able to object to wiping off the face from the face of earth entire families, four generations at a time, or to a siege where you let in enough humanitarian aid to pretend you have a sense of humanity, but nowhere enough to address the immense needs that are growing exponentially as you keep bombing a besieged territory. He says, release the hostages and takes 2 million Palestinian hostages. Let me translate these numbers. Compared to the population of Gaza, this is the equivalent of 28,000 Israelis killed, including 12,000 children and 6,800 women, 72,000 wounded, 5.6 million displaced. Is it more shocking now, more unacceptable, more outrageous? Why some feel so much pain for Israelis and so little pain for us, the Palestinians? What is the problem? Do we have the wrong faith? The wrong skin color? The wrong nationality? The wrong origin? Let me address all those who have in these past few days explained why one should not call for a ceasefire. How can representatives of states explain how horrible it is that 1,000 Israelis were killed and not feel the same outrage when 1,000 Palestinians are now killed every day? 1,000 Palestinians killed every day. Why not feel a sense of urgency to end their killing? Nothing can justify war crimes, crime against humanity, and genocide. Nothing can justify the killing of a single Palestinian child. Nothing. Nothing at all. Why not feel a sense of urgency to end our killing? Nothing can, as I said, justify war crimes. You are setting us back 80 years by trying to justify what Israel is doing now. How naive one has to be, or how hypocritical to pretend they don't know Israel is voluntarily killing Palestinian civilians. Who can believe that those killed by Israel are for 70% children and women, and that entire families were killed while Israel is trying to minimize civilian death? They kill all of us. They kill thousands of us. And they say they are trying to minimize killing civilians. How will it look like if they were trying to maximize killing Palestinian civilians. If killing 7,000 is to minimize, killing 700,000 would be possible to maximize. We don't need you to offer us semantic reassurances about IHL and protection of civilians. We need you to honor these norms, not recall them only to justify their breach seconds later. This selective outrage is outrageous and needs to stop now. These people you watch in your screens for a few minutes a day, every night, while they are being slaughtered, they have survived decades of military occupation, a 16 years long blockade, and 5 wars in the Gaza Strip. They built and rebuilt and rebuilt their lives and their homes again and again against all odds, despite tremendous suffering. They are walking miracles. How could you leave them to be killed once again? The answer to the killing of Palestinian civilians is not the killing of Israeli civilians. And the answer to the killing of Israeli civilians is not the killing of Palestinian civilians. Vengeance is a dead end. The only path forward is justice. The only path forward is justice. Justice for the Palestinian people. Don't distort the law. Don't bend it. Don't break it. Don't betray it to accommodate Israel. Uphold it, and uphold it high. This is what we are here for as the United Nations, to save future generations from the scourge of war. Uphold it for the sake of all nations, for the credibility of these United Nations. Mr. President, Wael Dahdouh was reporting on the massacres in Gaza. For those of you who do not, who is Wael Dahdouh? He is the field correspondent of Al Jazeera in the Gaza Strip. As he's been doing relentlessly for days now, when he received the news of an Israeli airstrike that killed his wife, his son, and his daughter, he did something many parents do in these circumstances. He spoke to his son, waiting for an answer that never came. He told him, "Didn't you tell me you wanted to be a journalist?" His son wanted to be a journalist, even though journalists are targets in Palestine. Remember Shireen Abu Akleh? Now, the dream of the son will haunt the father. Wael said a few words that I want you to hear well. He said, "They took their vengeance out on our children." He then said in a heartbreaking voice, "Malish, allow me to explain it to you. Literally, it means that's okay. But let me tell you what I believe he meant. Let me do it in Arabic. تبا لواقع تقتل فيه غزة.
What a world where Gaza is being killed again before the cameras of the world. Shame on all those who do not respect our humanity, our dignity, our suffering. all those who justify the act of the killer instead of standing by the victim, to all those who justify the crime and give condolences to the victim and explain that the killer is not responsible for the killing. Shame to all those who do not stand by our people in Gaza and put an end to the massacre. Shame to this forum. If a word of truth is not pronounced on it, shame to the one who will speak after me to defend the wrong and justify the killing of innocent people. There is no justice on this earth. We have God. We have only God to go to.
Finally, I appeal to all of you. Vote to stop the killing. Vote for humanitarian aid to reach those whose very survival depends on it. Vote to stop this madness. You have a chance to do something, to give an important signal. Choose justice, not vengeance. Choose to defend the law, not justify its breach. Choose peace, not more wars. Vote to put an end to two, almost 3 weeks of the worst double standards we have seen in decades. To restore some credibility of this place and the rules it is supposed to embody. Do not miss this chance. Lives are hanging in the balance, and every life is sacred. Please save lives, save lives, save lives. Vote for our draft resolution, and I thank you.
I now give the floor to the distinguished Deputy Prime Minister. I'll give the floor to Israel.
Thank you, Mr. President. Distinguished colleagues, we are gathered here in this hall today as a result of a resolution called Uniting for Peace. Sadly, this emergency session has nothing to do with peace. Every member state here today who is convinced that we are about to discuss yet another round of conflict in the Middle East, another dispute between Israel and the Palestinians, is wrong. The October 7th massacre and what ensued has nothing to do with the Palestinians. Nothing. It has nothing to do with the Arab-Israeli conflict or the Palestinian question. This is not a war with the Palestinians. Israel is at war with the genocidal jihadist Hamas terror organization. Only, it is the law-abiding democracy of Israel against modern-day Nazis. These are the facts. Hamas do not care about the Palestinian people. They do not care about peace or dialogue. Hamas has only one goal: to annihilate Israel and murder every single Jew on the face of the earth. Their original charter makes this very clear. I'll read you a few lines. Israel will exist and will continue to exist until Islam will obliterate it. Another quote, there is no solution for the Palestinian problem except by jihad. Another quote, the day of judgment will not come about until Muslims fight Jews and kill them. Friends, on October 7th, it became clear to the entire world that Hamas's charter was not a compilation of empty words. It was an action plan. An action plan. Imagine a bright sunny day. Clear skies. Music in the air. Young people are dancing, a rave. A concert for peace. Yes, for peace. It is early morning on the holy Sabbath. The sun has just risen to mark a new day. It is also a festive Jewish high holiday, Simchat Torah. Simchat Torah means the joy of the Torah, where we celebrate the book of books, our holy Bible. And then, in one split second, this idyllic Eden became hell on earth. The peaceful morning air was pierced with the wail of rocket sirens. Thousands, I'm telling you, thousands of Hamas mortars and rockets rained down indiscriminately on many Israeli cities and villages. But the rockets were only cover for the pogrom that followed. Barbaric Hamas terrorists invaded Israel from the sea, the land, and the air. They came with one purpose only, to savagely murder every living thing they encountered. Hamas Nazi murders went from house to house with hit lists. A thoroughly planned, willful, premeditated attack. They brutally murdered civilians in their beds. They drove pickup trucks with machine guns. Yes, we all remember, just like ISIS, and fired blindly at hundreds of young people at a concert. 300 were burned alive or butchered in that concert. Much of what remained were clumps of flesh and bloody limbs. Parents had to bring their children's toothbrushes for DNA so they could figure out whose limb belonged to who. These Hamas monsters raped women and children, parading naked girls that they raped and bodied that they defiled through the streets of Gaza, while thousands, and I'm telling you, thousands, you can see the footage, jeered and cheered. The savages tortured small babies. Just like the Nazis, Hamas terrorists removed infants from their cribs. Yes. We have it on video. Swung them repeatedly against the ground until their skulls became a pulp. Children were murdered in front of their parents, and parents in front of their children. I've seen a video of a terrorist filmed by himself, who tossed a grenade into a bomb shelter with a father and his two young boys inside. The father was killed instantly, and the two boys ran out of the shelter screaming that their father is dead and that they want to be dead too. All this is occurring, believe it or not, as the monster who murdered their father calmly helps himself to the contents of the family's fridge. Yes, no horror movie compares to the pure brutality that Hamas carried out. No, none. Amit Mann, a 22-year-old from Kibbutz Be'eri and a paramedic for Magen David Adom, Israel's Red Cross. She dedicated her life, literally, and you will understand why, to saving others. When the Hamas monsters invaded the kibbutz, Amit ran to the clinic to treat as many wounded as she could. For hours, Amit worked non-stop trying to save lives. She knew these sadistic terrorists were outside her clinic because she heard the gunfire, but she stayed there. She was committed to saving lives, not running away. Finally, the terrorist burst into her clinic and put a bullet through her brain. She was a Magen David Adom paramedic, the Israeli Red Cross, in uniform. But that didn't stop these savages. This is how the rescue teams found Amit. Ambulances were set on fire. Not one, many. Dozens of Magen David Adom medical teams were intentionally targeted on their way to tend to the wounded. And many other paramedics were murdered. Barzilai Hospital in my hometown city, Ashkelon, in Israel, suffered direct hits from Hamas rockets. Not for the first time. Hamas has been deliberately firing rockets at it for years, intentionally. Yet not a single condemnation of this barbarity has been mentioned here. Not here, not by the Security Council, not by the Secretary General, and not by this absurd resolution. It seems that hospitals and medical teams only need to be protected as long as they are not Israeli. The hypocrisy is beyond belief. The brutal ISIS-like monsters abducted over 220 hostages from Israel and dozens of other countries, including babies, children, persons with disabilities, the elderly, and Holocaust survivors. Kfir Bibas is 9 months old. 9 months old, and he is being held right now in Gaza as a hostage. 9 months old. What barbaric terrorist can do such a thing? And together with him, 30 other children. We saw Hamas's brutality in Israel. I cannot begin to fathom what horrors the hostages are enduring right now, as we speak here. 20 days have gone by, and Israel is still counting her dead. It took weeks to collect all of the bodies. Some bodies are burnt like pieces of coal. It is almost impossible to identify them. Countless burned bodies have been found with ash in their throats, meaning they were still alive when lit on fire, intentionally, by the Hamas terrorists. A clump of charred human remains that was burned beyond recognition was found. At first, the medical personnel couldn't figure out what they were looking at. Yet, after a CT scan, it became clear that they were two spines, not one, two spines bound together with wire. One belonging to an adult, and the other, the small spine, of a child. So just try to imagine that parent's feeling as they and their child were burning alive. The painful screaming of the love of their life was the last thing they heard, the last thing. Do you not think it's unbelievable that this resolution here today and this session are not solely focused on Hamas's atrocities? When reading this resolution, Hamas seems to be missing in action. The drafters of the resolution claim to be concerned about peace, yet the depraved murderers who initiated this war are not even mentioned in the resolution, not even mentioned. They see each one of you as puppet. They write a resolution completely devoid of any content related to the situation. They assume that you have already forgotten who it is that is responsible for the inhumane violence, and they just expect you to support it automatically. This resolution is a disgrace to your intelligence, a disgrace. It is unfathomable that such a resolution, one that doesn't even mention Hamas, could possibly be voted upon here. Let that sink in, please. Distinguished representatives, Hamas carried out atrocities, the likes of which we have not seen since the Holocaust. Yet, unlike the Holocaust, where the evidence we have is mostly black and white photographs and soundless footage, here the proof is in high definition. Because some of it is from, yes, security footage, but much of it is from the cell phones and GoPro cameras belonging to the Hamas Nazis themselves. Many may be asking, why did they film their sadistic violence? Well, I'll tell you why. Very simple. They filmed it in order to terrorize the Israeli public, to release these videos and put fear in the hearts of the citizens of Israel. By the way, this is what terrorists do. They terrorize. I have seen much footage over the past weeks that will be seared into my mind forever. But there is one sight that I keep on seeing when I try to sleep. In the video, one can see a terrible injured civilian, bloodied yet alive, laying on the ground as a Hamas savage screaming, "Allahu Akbar," repeatedly pummels the man's neck with a garden hoe in order to decapitate him. The man on the ground is an agricultural worker from Thailand. He's not Israeli, he's not Jewish. He was merely alive trying to make a living for his family. But he was decapitated with a blunt gardening tool. Horrifying. Israel is not at war with human beings. We are at war with monsters. My mission distributed and will continue to distribute QR codes with a direct link to files where you can see this horror and many other Hamas atrocities. What you see here are not pictures from Auschwitz, but Israelis raped, butchered, and burned alive. This is not Auschwitz. This is Hamas. There are no words in the English language, in any language, to describe the evil that we all just witnessed. And the reason it is not describable is because it has no place among humankind. Over 1,400 have been slaughtered, 1,000 injured, and over 220 hostages are being held right now by Hamas ISIS terrorists. To say that this is Israel's 9/11 would be an understatement. Proportionally, the death toll of this atrocity is 15 times bigger than 9/11. By the way, our enemies are not 7,000 miles away, they are 7,000 feet away, in our own backyard. So for this reason, Israel's mission is to eradicate this evil from the earth. Eradicate. ISIS was the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria, and Hamas is the Islamic State of Gaza. So just as was done with ISIS, Hamas must be no more. Our goal is to completely eradicate Hamas's capabilities, and we will use every mean at our disposal to accomplish this. Not for revenge, no. Not for retaliation, no. But to ensure that such depravity, such atrocities, never occurs again. Israel is at the forefront of the war on radical jihadist terror. And if Israel doesn't succeed in obliterating Hamas's terror capabilities, the whole world will pay the price. Hamas's genocidal ideology, just like ISIS, Al-Qaeda, or the Ayatollah regime in Tehran, of Iran, is not just about destroying Israel. You all know it. It is ultimately about world domination. World, it is about bringing the jihad war to the soil of each and every one of your countries. They will not stop until they murder all of the infidels, as they call us. Colleagues, for the past 16 years, the international community and the UN have been complacent to Hamas's terror buildup in Gaza, complacent. The world has kept its head in the sand as Hamas embedded its missiles and rockets deep within and under the civilian population of Gaza. It accepted an absurd reality that a law-abiding democracy could live side by side with cancerous genocidal terrorists that fire tens of thousands of missiles indiscriminately at our civilians, unprovoked. We have seen that nothing can change Hamas's genocidal ideology. Not, sadly, not the rehabilitation of Gaza, not economic incentives, not any promise of a brighter future. The UN tried. Many of you tried. But everyone failed. Everyone failed. And you know why? Because nothing can change a genocidal ideology. Nothing. There is only one solution to curing a cancer. It is the evisceration of every cancerous cell. The international community has poured billions of dollars into Gaza. And it all went to Hamas's war machine. It went to its subterranean city of terror. It went to its missile manufacturing facilities. And you remember, 18 years ago, Israel unilaterally withdrew from all of Gaza. We withdrew from all of Gaza. Hamas could have invested the international funding it received into building power plants, water desalination plants, every other civil infrastructure. But no. Instead, Hamas exploited every inch of the Gaza Strip for their violent goals. Because to Hamas, Gazan civilians are nothing more than mere cannon fodder, human shields who in death become pawns for Hamas's libelous propaganda campaign. Hamas is counting on you. They are certain that despite the terror and massacre, the UN will still come to their rescue and prevent Israel from defending itself. Friends, Israel is on a rescue mission. A rescue mission to save our hostages, to save our future, and to save the people of Gaza from their savage tyrants. A rescue mission. And colleagues, the rescue mission can end quickly. Now, it can end now. No need for complicated, empty resolutions. It can end now. Should Hamas put down their arms, return our hostages, and turn themselves in, this war will end without one more shot being fired. Not even one. Why do you not unite and call on Hamas to do this? If the drafters of this resolution truly want peace, if they truly want an immediate solution, then why do they not demand this of Hamas? Instead, this resolution does the exact opposite of finding a solution. The exact opposite. Rather than promoting peace, it only ensures more violence. It should be called uniting for terror, not uniting for peace. Israel has been attacked and continues to be attacked. This is a fact right now in the south from Hamas and in the north from Hezbollah. Meanwhile, the resolution calls for an immediate ceasefire. A ceasefire means giving Hamas time to rearm itself so they can massacre us again. This is not speculation. They will do so. You all know this. Any call for a ceasefire is not an attempt at peace. It is an attempt to tie Israel's hands, preventing us from eliminating a huge threat to our citizens. But the resolution's distortions go even deeper than that. Hamas, the terror group that started this war, I reiterate, is not even mentioned, not even once. In fact, the only hidden reference to these barbaric terrorists can be found in calls on both parties. Both parties? This is a false, immoral comparison between the law-abiding democracy of Israel and genocidal jihadists. And the drafters are counting on the fact that each and every distinguished representative here will blindly go along with their ploy. This resolution is an insult to your intelligence, and the only place this resolution belongs is in the dustbin of history. The dustbin of history. But colleagues, this resolution is not the only thing here today that is detached from reality. In a short time, a representative of the evil regime that trained, funded, and armed Hamas for the October 7th massacre will address you. The Ayatollah regime of Iran has the blood of thousands of Israelis on its hands. It has the blood of hundreds of thousands of oppressed Iranians, of Ukrainians, of Americans, of Emiratis, and so many others on its hands. Iran is known as the world's number one state sponsor of terror, and for good reasons. It's completely natural that the foreign minister of this brutal regime should be the speaker following the resolution drafter. The country with a Nazi ideology of annihilating Israel, publicly says, stands in solidarity with its proxy Hamas, which shares the same Nazi ideology and aims for our destruction. This is completely understandable. Indeed, mere days ago, he spoke with the leaders of Hamas and its twin terror group, Palestinian Islamic Jihad, praising them for the slaughter. And today he is here to fill your ears with poison. Indeed, uniting for peace, uniting to butcher every Israeli to pieces. This man, the mass murderer, or any other representatives of the terror regime in Iran, has no place at the UN, let alone in the family of nations. It is a moral stain on the UN and the values it was founded upon. Distinguished colleagues, this week the UN celebrated its 78th birthday. Yet, looking at this resolution and the honorary guests hosted it today in these halls, this organization has shown that it is so broken, so morally corrupt, that I do not have high hopes that it will make it to 90, let alone 100. I'm just a realist. Today serves as the clearest proof that this body is bleeding its relevance, legitimacy, and justification. What we are witnessing today is a desecration of what the UN was meant to be. Following the horrors of the Holocaust, this institution was established to prevent atrocities from repeating themselves. Yet, in these very halls, we have perpetrators of the most grotesque human rights violations and crimes against humanity who also exploit their power and so-called members of the family of nations only to single out law-abiding democracies such as Israel. If this organization wants to maintain any shred of legitimacy, it is imperative that you, please, distinguished representatives, no longer play along with this farce of anti-Israel double standards. Vote against this biased resolution. Stand on the right side of history. Don't stand with the genocidal jihadists committed to your destruction. Rise above internal political considerations and do what is moral and right. Mr. President, Israel will not stop fighting for the truth, even if we remain the sole voice of reason in these halls. Israel will continue combating the genocidal terrorists committed to our destruction. We will not rest until Hamas is obliterated and our hostages are returned home. And we will bring them home. I will conclude with a moment of silence for all the victims of Hamas's atrocity. If the supporters of this resolution choose to ignore the victims in their text, I will pay respect to their memory. Thank you, Mr. President.
I now give the floor to the distinguished Deputy Prime Minister and Minister of Foreign Affairs and Expatriate of the Kingdom of Jordan, His Excellency Ayman Safadi, on behalf of the Arab Group.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Mr. President, dear friends, it is at such times of cruelty, inhumanity, and total disregard for international law that we must speak out clearly and unequivocally. There is no room for gray areas here. We must stand for life, for justice, for peace. We must stand against this war in Gaza and the humanitarian catastrophe it is causing. We must stand on the side of our human values and for the charter of these United Nations. History will judge us. Let us not fail the Palestinian people, a besieged people, an occupied people whose days start with death and end with death, whose nights are engulfed by a total blackout, punctured only by the lightning of Israeli missiles, taking away their lives, shattering their dreams, killing their hope. Say no to war. Say no to the killing. Call out war crimes. Defend the right of Palestinian children, women, the elderly, to food, to water, to medicine, to fuel. Speak out against using starvation as a weapon. Children are falling dead under the rubble of homes destroyed by Israeli precision bombs. Some are still alive under the rubble. There's no sufficient equipment to pull them out. Their parents can still hear them. They talk to them helplessly, knowing that they are running out of air and are slowly dying. Children who may miraculously survive face dehydration and starvation. Israel has killed over 7,000 innocent Palestinians since this new vicious cycle of violence and war. These are people with names, with faces, with memories and loved ones left behind. Among them, 16 health workers, 39 UNRWA staff, 22 journalists. Wael Dahdouh, a journalist, had his 8 children separated in 3 different houses, so they are not all killed at the same time if it gets bombed. Yesterday, his wife, Amina, 45 years old. His son, Mahmoud, 16 years old. His daughter, Sham, 7 years old. And his infant grandson, Adam, 50 days old. Hear me well. 45 days old were stolen from him by Israel's war. They are not soldiers. And yet, at the going down of the sun and in the morning, we will remember them. Israeli government, who has cabinet members who openly, shamingly call for wiping out Palestinians from the face of this earth, call them animals unworthy of life, tells you this is not a war on the Palestinian people. If it is not, then why on earth did they kill Adam? عليه وعليهم.
Upon them and upon all of those who have ascended to the heavens, may God's blessings remain.
One doctor in Gaza describes how a boy with injuries and facial burns told him how his house was hit after finishing a meal with his parents. His father, sitting next to him, he says, was killed outright. His mother suffocated in the smoke. I don't have videos to show you. We respect the dead too much. We respect the pain of their families too much to show videos. But check out your mobiles. Thousands of videos depicting the abomination, the horror, the inhumanity to which thousands of Palestinians are being subjected and have been subjected. Israel is making Gaza a perpetual hell on earth. The trauma will haunt generations to come. And dear friends, don't be fooled. Don't let them tell you that this is a war between Muslims and Jews. I stand before you as a Jordanian, as an Arab, as a Muslim, and I tell you, we value life, Muslim life, Christian life, Jewish life. We value the sanctity of life. The Israeli representative did not say a word about Palestinian lives shattered in this war. Yet the Palestinian one before him, and I do, and I say, we care about all lives, about all civilians, Muslims, Christians, Palestinians, Jews, Israelis, all lives. Don't let them tell you otherwise. An insult to intelligence is. Dear friends, rage must not blind us to the futility of violence. It must not desensitize us to the pain of fellow human beings. We condemn the killing of all civilians, no matter their race, their identity, their nationality, or their religion, because these are our human values, and this is our morality. Israel must uphold these values too. How many wars? How much death has our region suffered? And what good did that do? All of us. It did not bring security to Israel. It will not. It did not bring security to any of us. My friends, the right to self-defense is not a license to kill with impunity. Collective punishment is not self-defense. It is a war crime. We must say it as it is. We must refuse the double standards and selective application of international law. Israel cannot remain above the law. Dear friends, a just and lasting peace is the best defense for all. Let the guns go silent, and let the will to live and let live prevail. Let's restore faith in the peace process as the only path to ending this conflict once and for all. Many among us believe that they are helping Israel by supporting its war. They are not. Instead of sending weapons to Israel, send delegations to open an immediate and viable path to peace. This is how they help Israel. And many among us, too, feel that they are doing their ethical and legal duty towards Palestinians by urging humanitarian supplies be sent to them and not urging an end of this war. They are not doing their duty towards Palestinians. Responsibility towards Palestinians demands that they work for their protection, for peace. Peace that will ensure a viable, independent, sovereign Palestinian state with occupied Jerusalem as its capital on June 4, 1967, lines living side by side a secure Israel, so that Palestinians live free from occupation and its indignity, so that no Palestinian or Israeli mother has to once again mourn her child. Ladies and gentlemen, Jordan, on behalf of the Arab countries, will put forward a draft resolution. We do so after the United Nations Security Council did not fulfill its responsibility. The draft resolution simply seeks what our United Nations was established to achieve: peace and compliance with international law. We all know Israel will ignore it. It did ignore many, many, many UN resolutions before. And yet, Vote for it. Vote for it. Make a stand. Ladies and gentlemen, a month ago, His Majesty King Abdullah II stood before this very assembly. His works, his words echoed true then. They are even more relevant now. He said, and I quote, "Our region will not continue to suffer until the world helps lift the shadow of the Palestinian-Israeli conflict, the central issue in the Middle East. No architecture for regional security and development can stand over the burning ashes of this conflict. But 7.5 decades on, it still smolders. Where are we going?" Dear friends, let's make a collective cry, a cry out against more bloodletting. Let's unite for peace. Let's unite for justice. Let's unite for the right of every Palestinian and every Israeli child to live free from the horrors of war, free from fear, and looking for a life full of promise and full of opportunity. For the sake of the Palestinian people and for the sake of the Israeli people, vote yes. And contrary to what you just heard, the resolution does recognize the pain and the killing on the Israeli side as well. The resolution does condemn the killing of Palestinian and Israeli civilians. Don't be fooled. My friend, let the passing of the draft resolution be a message to Palestinians suffering the inferno of this Israeli war on them. Let it be a message that the international community sees them, feel their pain, and believes that Palestinian lives matter too. Make a stand for peace. Make a stand for life. Make it clear. Make it firm. And before I conclude, I too want to call for a moment of silence. But not just for one side or the other. I want to call for a moment of silence for all the civilians, for all the innocent who fell and who continue to fall in this ugly, abominable war. Thank you so much.
I thank the distinguished representative of the Kingdom of Jordan, and I now give the floor to His Excellency Hussein Amir Abdullahian, the Minister of Foreign Affairs of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
In the name of God, Mr. President, ladies and gentlemen, I thank Your Excellency for holding this meeting. The world knows that the Islamic Republic of Iran plays the most constructive role in helping peace and security, as well as fighting terrorism and ISIS. Mr. President, it has been 3 weeks that we have been witness to the war crimes and genocide of the occupying Israeli regime in Gaza and the West Bank of Palestine. The United States and several European countries have sided with the occupying regime of Israel without observing the UN Charter and international law. They call a Palestinian liberation movement a terrorist, which has the right to self-defense and self-determination. But they refer to the occupying and war criminal regime that is committing genocide in Gaza and having the right to self-defense. Unfortunately, This is the state of our world today. This is the situation of the Security Council, which was supposed to try to establish world peace and security. Today, United States and several European countries are watching and supporting the killing of about 7,000 civilians in less than 3 weeks by the Israeli regime in Gaza and West Bank of Palestine. And they help this regime militarily and financially. We recommend the United States to work for peace and security, not war against people, children, and women, instead of sending rockets, tanks, and bombs to be used against Gaza. United States should stop supporting genocide in Gaza and Palestine. Mr. President, the history of Iranian civilization shows that we have always supported peace and security. But today in New York and the United Nations, I say frankly to the American statesmen who are now managing the genocide in Palestine that we do not welcome to expansion of the war in the region. But I warn, if the genocide in Gaza continues, they will not be spared from this fire. It is our home, and West Asia is our region. We do not compromise with any party and any side, and we have no reservation when it comes to our home's security. The genocide in Gaza must stop immediately. The forced displacement of the people of Gaza must be stopped immediately. Today, Gaza is waiting for urgent and vital humanitarian aid. According to international law, the Palestinian Liberation Movement, Hamas, is fighting the occupation and has a legitimate right. Mr. President, according to our negotiations, Hamas is ready to release civilian prisoners. On the other hand, the world should support the release of 6,000 Palestinians held in Israeli prisons. Now, allow me to continue the rest of my remark in the Persian language.
Mr. President, according to history and based on documents of the United Nations, the Palestinian issue has a history of about 80 years. Therefore, trying to reduce its dimensions to just one attack and on a Palestinian liberation group is a big lie. According to the international law, as well as hundreds of resolutions of this very same assembly, the entire land of Palestine is an occupied land, and according to this, the Zionist regime is recognized as an aggressor and an occupier. The Palestinian nation, like any other nation under occupation, has the indisputable and inherent right of self-determination and has the right to directly and freely decide on its independence and to create an independent government to decide for itself according to international law. And as specified by Security Council Resolutions number 309 and 323 of 1972 and of the Security Council, in the case of Namibia, the inalienable right to self-determination and independence is permanent and does not disappear with the passage of time. Therefore, just as the prolonged occupation of the land does not create any rights for the occupier, the passage of time does not in the slightest way the right to determine the fate of the occupied nation. According to the principles and rules of the international law and hundreds of resolutions of this very same assembly, the Palestinian nation, as a nation under occupation, has the legitimate right to resist the occupation using all available methods, including armed struggle. Therefore, the recent hypocritical efforts to introduce the struggle of the Palestinian nation against the occupiers as terrorist actions will not deceive the free nations and the awakened consciences of the world. The United States of America, as the unwavering and permanent supporter of the occupying regime, is the main cause of the failures of the United Nations, especially the Security Council, in upholding the rights of the Palestinians. The country has for dozens of times prevented the Security Council from fulfilling its duties in this field. Mr. President, we believe that the complete and comprehensive solution to the Palestinian issue is only possible through the full realization of the inalienable right of this nation to self-determination and the establishment of an independent Palestinian state in all of the Palestinian territories and with Al-Quds as its capital. The entire land of Palestine, from the sea to the river, belongs only to the original Palestinians, including Christians, Jews, and Muslims. And no institution or country has the right or can give any part of it, of this land, to another person or group. The Islamic Republic of Iran believes in the right of the Palestine to resist against occupation, has offered a political and democratic initiative which includes the holding of a referendum for self-determination amongst the original residents of Palestine, including Jews, Christians, and Muslims, which has been registered by the UN as well. The essence and nature of the Zionist regime is based on aggression, occupation, crime, lies, and deception. So far, this regime has launched more than 20 wars in the region, invaded, without any exception, all its neighbors, attacked a number of countries outside its immediate region and neighborhood, and it still occupies the territory of some other Arab countries, in addition to Palestine. It has committed all the four main international crimes, namely aggression, war crimes, crimes against humanity, and genocide. Not once, but many times, and in some cases, all four crimes simultaneously. And to advance his illegitimate goals, it has failed to adhere to any humane principles or legal rules. Ladies and gentlemen, we must see reality as it is. And the reality is that brutal occupation has transformed into brutal and deep apartheid. It is this terrible combination of chronic occupation and deep apartheid that gives the occupying regime the psychological permission to butcher and mass kill the people under occupation. Therefore, now is the time to consider the real face of this regime and see it as it is, as the General Assembly did in 1975 through Resolution Number 3379 by identifying Zionism as apartheid and racism. Mr. President, I would like to emphasize that the recent action of the Palestinian nation, as well as the action of the liberation organization of Hamas against the occupiers, according to the applicable rules of the international law, is completely legitimate and inherent right, and attributing any other title to it is absolutely illegal and unacceptable. Claims such as the right of the so-called legitimate defense should be granted to an occupying regime is also a very ridiculous joke. It is certainly not possible to change the places of the killer and the victim by misusing some expressions. The Al-Aqsa storm operation is just a reaction to the continuation of occupation and the aggressions against the Palestinians, and in response to the widespread crimes of the Zionist regime in recent months. In fact, this operation was the volcanic operation, was the volcanic eruption of the concentrated anger of the entire Palestinian nation against 75 years of continuous and widespread crimes by the Zionist regime, especially in recent months by the Netanyahu government. According to international law, resisting aggression and occupation, including by armed means, is the inherent and legitimate right of the Palestinian, of any nation, including the Palestinian nation, and it does not require the permission or order of any country or institution to exercise it. The place and how to exercise this right is based on the recognized international law. Those who repeatedly speak about the necessity of avoidance of an expansion of this conflict, and of course the Islamic Republic of Iran, we have never been after the expansion or the spread of war, and we will never be supporting it. But if, in the truest sense of the word, they don't want this war to spread out, they need to pressure the Zionist regime to fully and immediately stop the war crimes of the Israeli regime if they don't want the conflict to spread out. The recent statements of the official and military authorities of the Zionist regime and its actions in Gaza prove that the killing of more than 7,000 civilians, of which more than 62% are children and women, and the wounding and maiming of more than 17,000 civilians, completely cutting off water, electricity, fuel, food, and medicine to a population of several million, and preventing any effective assistance to them, and brutally and extensively destroying residential places, mosques, churches, hospitals, and infrastructure facilities, have been carried out completely, deliberately, and with an intent of revenge and collective punishment, which are explicitly prohibited under international law, and leave no room for doubt that these actions are a clear violation of international law and a clear example of the crime of aggression and war crimes, and also crime against humanity and genocide. Mr. President, ladies and gentlemen, the actions of the United States, too, which directly participates in this battle through financial and armed support, as well as direct military action and effective political support, are a clear violation of the Charter and international legal obligations of that country, and as a result, hold it internationally responsible. In addition, why the United States itself is actually and in practice and directly involved in committing crimes against Palestinians, it is not in a position to invite others to exercise self-restraint and refrain from spreading the war. Therefore, we strongly warn against the uncontrollable consequences of the unlimited financial arms and operational supports by the White House to the Tel Aviv regime, which have led to the expansion and added to the severity of the bombardments of the civilians and the Palestinian women and children in Gaza and the West Bank. The current developments in Palestine also clearly prove that the only result of any normalization of relations with Tel Aviv is tantamount to ignoring the legitimate and historical rights of the Palestinian nation, but any kind of normalization of ties with the Israeli regime is doomed to failure. Preventing the escalation of the Palestinian situation, especially considering the current turbulent and tumultuous conditions in different regions of the world, is a global and collective responsibility. We, on our part, are ready to play a more serious role in this field in line with our recent efforts in order to restore peace and security in the west of Asia. In this line, the leaders of the Hamas Liberation Palestinian Movement have voiced their readiness to release the non-military prisoners to us, and the Islamic Republic of Iran stands ready to play its part in this very important humanitarian endeavor along with Qatar and Turkey. Naturally, the release of the 6,000 Palestinian prisoners is another necessity and responsibility of the global community. Mr. President, in conclusion, I would like to thank the positive and realistic positions of the UN Secretary General, His Excellency Antonio Guterres, and his efforts on the ground for sending humanitarian aid to Gaza and immediately stopping the war. I would like to emphasize that it is expected from the United Nations to employ a strong terminology, and under the 7th chapter of the United Nations Charter, force the Zionist regime to immediately stop its war crimes, genocide, and the mass killing of civilians, and provide other grounds for the full realization of the Palestinian nation's right to self-determination. This is, of course, the inherent duty and obligation of the United Nations, which has been delayed for decades for the aforesaid reasons. Now, we all expect the current meeting of the General Assembly that has been held to delve into the Gaza and Palestinian crisis. We expect it to pass a strong resolution which is effective and influential by the General Assembly of the UN that will lead to an immediate stop to war crimes against Gaza and the lifting of the human blockade and the extensive sending of the humanitarian aid and the stopping to the forced displacement of the residents of Gaza. Thank you for your attention.